thank you this morning for being here in the house of the Lord. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to share with you the bread of life. And today is no different. And I've been working on a great word all week. And I got some pretty interesting things. I always try to listen to God and let God tell me, you know, because God's got a lot of interesting facts that He kind of brings forth in my messages that He gives me to prepare. And today's no different. So the title of my message today is, What is Your Message? Get that. What is your message today? You know, it seems like whoever you talk to or wherever you go, somebody's got a message. Somebody's got something to tell you. Right? I mean, I've met numerous people, tons of people, that's got their own message. They've got a message whether you want to hear it or not. Sometimes people are going to tell you that message whether you want to listen to it or not. They're going to tell you what it is. And then you know, some of the things I've heard, I didn't want to hear. Some things I've been told, I didn't want to be told. Some things that I've found out through that person's message, I wish they had just kept it to themselves. You ever been in that situation? But you know, as a minister, you just do this. You just keep your mouth zipped, and you let that person speak their heart. But today, we all have a message to share, especially more so if you're a child of God. Amen. You have a message today, just like I have a message right here that I've been preparing all week long with the help of God. The message of the gospel. Amen. You and I possess a great message. Now, I don't know if that message is getting out, but we have been entrusted with a great message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And wow, what a great message it is. And there's so many different ways to tell that message. So many ways that I have connected with people from behind pulpits, out on the streets. And sometimes, I like to use a lot of words, but sometimes you don't even have to use words to speak your message, because people can see your message by the way you live, by the way you act, by the things you do. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what is your message and how is your message getting out there. So that's something we ought to just kind of ponder on for the next few minutes. So over in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16. Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16. I'm going to read that one verse. And this is what Paul writes in Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16. And he says these words. He says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. And I want to read that one more time, just so that we can clearly hear it. Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I'd like to ask you to bow with me for prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, once again, you have given us a mighty word. And we thank you for that word this morning, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray now that you hide me behind the cross. Lord, let me not interfere with what you have said or done through your word today. And Lord, let the hearts of the people that hear this word, God, that hear this message today, Lord, let them apply it to their lives, to their hearts. And God, that we might take this word out of your house today and share it with those that need to hear it the most, Heavenly Father. And Lord, let it increase our own lives as well. And let us grow in faith and our trust in you, Heavenly Father. And God, we ask this now humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, giving you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we ask this now. Amen. Okay, today, So I want to tell you something I found very interesting this week. Back in 1860, anybody familiar with the Pony Express? You know what? I don't know where I run across it. I was reading in a book this week about something that brought up the Pony Express. Back in 1860, these men, or these people, it didn't say men, if they were, or I guess they were men. It doesn't say men or women. It just says these, I'm going to say these people. These people were hired as Pony Express riders, and they had to know how to handle a horse. They had to know how to handle the heat. They had to know how to handle blizzards. And they had to know the shortest and the quickest route to get from point A to point B, because they were carrying something very valuable. And guess what that something was? It was a message. They were entrusted. They had to outrun robbers. And you know what? I even found out that they were paid $125 a month back in 1860. $125 a month. Now, in today's time, that wouldn't be nothing. But back in those days, $125 a month, that's a lot of money. But at the same time, you got to keep in mind what they were doing was very serious. It could even cost them their life. Well, doesn't that resemble the gospel of God's truth today? You got to know how to handle it. You got to know how to handle Satan when he comes up against you trying to stop you. You got to know how to handle the heat. Because you know, when you start preaching the gospel or talking the gospel of Christ, here comes the heat. Amen. Your heat's coming. Satan's coming. He's going to bring the heat on. And that's why a lot of people are scared to speak the gospel. Oh, Satan's going to come up against me. He's going to try to stop me. I don't want no trouble. Well, bring it on, I say. Bring it on. There ain't no trouble I've been through that I can't handle with God's help. Amen. Ain't no trouble you can't handle today with the help of the Lord. Amen. So let Satan bring it on. If that's what you got to receive, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation to all people. Now, that's a message in itself. I could preach on that one scripture today and tell you that over and over today, that it's by the power of God's hand. It's not by the power of my hand. It's by the power of God's hand that He brings salvation to all people. But guess what? God needs you. God needs you to be a Pony Express rider this morning. He needs you to jump on your horse. Anybody know how to ride a horse? I've never been on a horse. I've never been on a horse. But God needs you to jump on your horse, get saddled up, get saddled in, and go out and ride. He needs you to blaze the trails with the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. Is that not a good analogy, Kay? Wow, that just amazes me. And God says, I'll give you more than $125 a month. He said, I'll give you so much reward. I'll give you so many blessings that you can't contain it. But you got to do the job. You got to go out. And you got to deliver the message. Because I've given it to you. I've entrusted you with it. And you got to share it. Listen, the gospel message is nothing that we should keep to ourselves. Amen? We've got to share it. The only way you're going to lead a lost soul to Christ is to share the gospel message. And God's power will do the work. Amen. I could speak all day long. I could try for the next 50 years, if I'm alive and the Lord let me live that long, and drill salvation into whoever I can find. But it's by God's power. It's by God's might. It's by God's control that He brings that salvation. He brought it down to man, amen? He brought it down to us. All we got to do is, right now, all we got to do is go out of the church house today and share that gospel message. You know, what good is it going to do you if you've got salvation and you don't share it? What good is it for you to have the message of God today and not share it with someone else? You know, last weekend, On the sermon, 60 views. You know what? God cares about numbers. You know, if it weren't so, there wouldn't be a book called Numbers. God cares about numbers. I said that one time in Dudley's church. He let me preach one time. And I said, God don't care about numbers. And you know what he did after I got done preaching? Brother Hugh, you know what he did? He got up in front of the church. He said, to make a correction, young minister, God does care about numbers. You know how big I felt? I felt about like that. And I thought about that later. He's right. God does care. Every soul he cares about. Amen? Every one of them. Not just some of them. All of them. Even the worst ones. And I was one of the worst ones right here. You looking at one. I was the worst soul there was. But God changed me. God transformed me. God made me a new creation. And look what God's doing through me now. Now listen, what are you doing this year? I've been asking myself that this year. What have I been doing? Am I doing enough for God? Am I doing enough of God's work for God's church? And I'm not talking about the church building. See, this is the building right here. This is the building that we worship in. Who's the church this morning? Anybody know? Who's the church? You and I. We're the church. We are God's church. And we are, you know, that's one of the things that I've said before. Down at St. Clair, we go down there about the third day, maybe the second or third day, we start asking those leaders that got speech or their parts, they'll get up and they'll say, who's the church? And that's what they do. They look at one another like, we don't know. And then by the end of the second day, beginning of the third day, they realize, oh, we're the church. The people, we're the church. This is just a building that we worship in today. We are the church. We are God's church. We are to go out and do the work of God that he sent us to do. Hey, listen, God never said it'd be easy. God never said it would be easy to be a Christian. But he says, take up your cross and follow after me. He said, you want to be my disciple? He said, take up your cross and follow after me. And what does that mean? What does it mean when Christ told the rich young ruler, he said, go and sell all that you got. And he says, then come back. Pick up your cross and follow after me. Even the Bible says, pick up your cross daily. Not just the Bible, but what God's already instilled inside of you. Whatever you possess today from God, you got to pick it up daily. You got to take it with you. You got to carry it with you and be ready. Listen, we are to be ready to share the gospel message. Because you never know who you're going to encounter out there on the streets. There's all kinds of people out there. And you know the majority of them, believe it or not, whether you think so or not, are just waiting for somebody to ask them. Do you agree with that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning? You say, preacher, you know that ain't true. There's people out there that are just waiting to be asked, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about the plan of God that he has for you? Can I show it to you? Even Nicodemus, he's a well-learned man. He came to Jesus by night. And Jesus taught him very plainly. He said, be born again. If you don't be born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. See, but Nicodemus didn't know. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. He said, how can a man of my age be reborn again in my mother's womb? But see, he didn't understand what Jesus was really saying. Being born not of the flesh, but being born of the Spirit. Listen, we've been reborn of the Spirit. If you're a child of God this morning, you've been reborn in the Spirit of God. Do you possess the Spirit of God inside of you today? And that's the power of salvation that God brought down to man that we could have for nothing. Say, I'm a worthless sinner this morning. That's all I am. A worthless sinner, but saved by God's grace. Aren't you glad of that this morning? God said, you know what? God could have destroyed me a long time ago. But he says in the Word of God, he said, his anger is slow. And he says, I'm slow to anger. He said, and I withhold my wrath against you. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Aren't you glad that God has done? You know, I'm so thankful this morning that God hasn't sent a lightning bolt down to smite me off the face of the earth already. Amen? I'm thankful of that this morning because he could have. But God's not that way. God wants to make sure that he gives everybody the ample time they need to repent and come to know the saving power of God's salvation and love. God's full of mercy this morning. God's full of grace this morning. Couldn't you use a little more grace this morning? Anybody? Couldn't you use a little more of God's love? Hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher here. I could use a little more of God's love. I could use a little more of God's grace. I could use a little more of God's compassion and mercy. Couldn't you? What could you? Man, I could use all that this morning. Man, just think. If you had just a little more compassion, or a little more love, or a little more mercy, a little more forgiveness, wouldn't that be awesome? Man, that would be so great. But then God says, well, what's keeping you from having it? You know what? Yeah, God says, what's keeping you from having it then? You know who's keeping you from having it? You know who's keeping me from having it? Me. I always get in the way. That gospel message. It's hard. The truth is hard to hear. Even for a minister. This truth is hard to hear. Because it hurts. You know, the Bible says truth hurts. But it also does something else. It heals. The truth of God's word, it hurts at first, but then it heals. And then it does something else even greater than that. It sets free. Praise God, hallelujah, this morning. God's truth, God's mercy, God's grace, the gospel of God's salvation power, it hurts, it heals, and then it sets free. Man, we don't have to think like we think. We don't have to act like we act. We don't have to talk like we talk in the flesh all the time. We can walk in the Spirit of God. And when the flesh kicks up, guess what you can do about it? Rebuke it. Rebuke the flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. This flesh is unruly. Do you believe that? Can I get an amen on that this morning? Is your flesh, have you tamed your flesh this morning? Because if you have, I want to know how you've done it. Have you tamed your tongue this morning? If you have, I want to know how you've done it. If you've tamed your mind this morning, I want to know how you've done it. In the Word of God, I read it says that God says there's not one of us that are righteous. Not a one of them. It's only by the blood of Christ. Listen, the only way you're righteous this morning, the only way that I am righteous this morning is by the blood of Christ. Amen? That's the only way. In myself, I'm not a righteous person. By myself, not a righteous person. This right here, this flesh is unruly. It'll do what you let it. This tongue will say what you let it. This mind will think what you let it. These eyes will see and look at what you let it. But if you're controlled by the Spirit of God, guess what? You're going to be under the control of God. You're going to be under the power of God. You're going to be under the plan of salvation that God has instilled in you and me. And we're going to take that gospel message out. And we're going to share it with people that are struggling out there. There's a lot of people out there that are struggling. There are a lot of people out there that are lost. They don't know God. They don't know how to live from day to day. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to act. They're against everybody. And they think everybody's against them. But listen, I know one person that's never going to be against you this morning. One person that will never turn against you. One person that will never forsake you or forget about you. And that's God your Father this morning. Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning? And that's what people need to know. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. Whosoever shall come can and will be saved that call upon the name of God. And it's that simple and that easy. But it's hard for us. It's hard for us when we, you know, like I've said, I've been many days. I've been tired. And God's laid somebody on my heart. Let me tell you a little story. I got a phone call Friday afternoon. I got a phone call, and I ain't gonna tell you who it was. I got a phone call Friday afternoon. I was on my way home. I just got off work, and I headed down to the lake, and coming back, I hit a hole on the side of the road and blew out a brand new tire just put on my trailer. So I didn't have no jack, didn't have no four-way. You know, I just sat there in my truck. I called Pam. You know how many people stopped to help me? Nobody. Not a soul. So I sat there in my truck. Here come Pam down there. And they had this old junky spare. Didn't have a good spare, so I thought, well, maybe this thing will make it home. Put that old junky spare on there. Got home and get a phone call. And it was one of them ministerial phone calls. And I thought, man, this is not the right time right now. I'm a little frustrated. This is not the right time. But you know what? That was the flesh talking. But the Spirit took over. The Spirit of God took over. And guess what happened? Then I got in the right mind frame. I got my mind right. I started listening to what the Spirit was saying instead of flesh. Man, the flesh is tired. The flesh just wants to go get a shower, get something to eat, and just forget all about this day. But the Spirit took over. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God took over. And then we had a good conversation. And we had some good insight. And we had some good word about God and about prayer. And that phone call could have went the other way. It could have ended up bad. But it ended up good. And we praise God for it. But a lot of times that's what we do. We listen to our flesh. And our flesh says, oh, I'm tired. And I don't want to do nothing else. I ain't calling nobody. I ain't going to see nobody. I ain't going to the hospital or wherever it may be God's leading you. And then guess what you do? Not only are you disobedient to God, you miss out on a blessing. And you even maybe miss out on leading someone to Christ. You never know. And then that person's going to reflect back. And they're going to say, you know what? That person ain't who they say they are. That person ain't the godly person they say they are. And then next thing you know, there's all kinds of things going on, being said. But what do you do about it? Well, you just ask God to forgive you, you move on, and hope you do better next time. Amen? That's all you can do. But God wants us to do our best every day, if we can, while we're walking in the Spirit. Because we don't always walk in the Spirit. Because guess what? I'm going to tell you this real quick. If you haven't heard this before, the flesh and the spirit are in a tug of war against one another. And they're always in a constant battle. But listen, if you're letting God in, you let God have control, He's going to have control. He's going to be able to do what things through you that you never thought He would. Listen, I never thought I'd be a preacher. I never asked to be a Sunday school teacher either. When we were over at Dudley's church, those little kids, some days, I just wanted to strangle them. Let's be honest with you. I'd leave out of there, my head would be busting open. And I tell parents, I said, man, those kids are of the devil. They're so unruly. I threaten them. I said, if you don't quit, I'm going to go get your dad. You think that would stop them? That'd just make them worse. And I'd even get to the point where I just want to quit. I thought, man, I can't handle this. Now, that's been a long time ago. And those kids are grown now, and they're married. They got kids of their own. And that's hard to believe. But God got me through it. Man, I was an inexperienced Christian trying to work my way into the ministry, trying to do what God wanted me to do. And old Satan, he's like, man, every Sunday. I told one of those little kids one Sunday, I said, this ain't nothing but the devil trying to cause trouble in here in this Sunday school room. And that one little girl looked at me and she said, why you always got to bring up the devil and everything? You always talking about the devil all the time. I'm thinking, I just wish you would be quiet. But you know what? I still love those kids. I still loved them. And God blessed me for hanging in there with them. See, I could have quit. I could have went to my pastor and said, you know what? I'm not teaching Sunday school another time. I quit. Find somebody else. But you know what? I stuck it out. It was hard. But things got better. And those kids loved me for it. Man, you talking about I led some of them to the Lord. That's a great privilege. If you ever get the chance to lead someone to the Lord, don't hesitate to do it. Just do it. Let God use you. Let God tell you. He'll show you what to do. He'll tell you what to say. And you won't have to worry about it because it ain't going to be you doing it. God's going to be using you as a vessel. God's going to empower you. He's empowered us to carry the gospel message and to deliver that message. All right. So is this good to you this morning? Is this good to you in any way? Listen, I'm going to finish up with this. You know, we don't need to be. I got to tell you this. This is what Paul writes over in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. You don't have to turn there. You can just write down the scriptures if you want to read it later on. Paul, over in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verses 8 and 9, he says this. He says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. He says, I have lost all things. I consider them, he said, look what he says. He says, I consider them garbage. He uses the word garbage. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. And that's in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He said, I lost everything. He said, I lost everything because of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. See, Paul, he knew, he realized how valuable Jesus Christ was. And he says everything else, he said everything that he had. Paul was a circumcised Jew that went by the law. But yet, and he was well learned. He had high status among his peers. And this is the power of God's salvation we're talking about this morning. This is the power of the gospel message we're talking about this morning that you possess and I possess. Paul says all the fame that he had, all the status that he had amongst his peers was worth nothing. He said it was worth nothing. All that he had lost was worth nothing. It was considered to him as garbage for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. Is that not a great and mighty word to you this morning? So it doesn't matter what you have this morning. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank this morning. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of car or truck you're driving this morning. It doesn't matter what kind of house you're living in this morning. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes you're wearing this morning. All that is garbage considered the surpassing worth of knowing and having Jesus Christ in your heart today. Amen. And I could finish my sermon right there. And I will finish my sermon right there with those words. Everything else is worthless. And that's a mighty word from God today. So I'm going to pray real quick this morning. Maybe today you're on Facebook, you're watching this. Maybe you think that all your material things, even you today here in the church, maybe you think that your material things are so valuable. Maybe you think they're more valuable than Jesus Christ. What is a soul worth today? That's what I want to ask you. What is your soul worth? How much money do you think your soul's worth today? Or material-wise, what do you think your soul's worth today? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I can tell you, I do know how much your soul's worth to God. I do know how much my soul's worth to God because He showed me how much it was worth when He sent His Son down here to die on the cross for me, to shed His blood for me. God says, your soul's worth that much that I shed the precious blood of my Son for you. Everything else doesn't matter. That's what matters the most today. So let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, once again, you amaze me, Lord, with just overflowing me, God, with your words. Lord, I thank you this morning for this mighty word. I thank you for the gospel message today. Lord, I thank you for those people long ago that way before I ever became a child of yours, Lord, that shared the gospel truth with me. Lord, even though it went in one ear and I thought out the other, but God, some of that word got down in my heart. Some of that word got down in the pits of my soul. And Lord, it took root right there, Heavenly Father. And God, I'm thankful for that this morning, that people that cared about me, that loved me, Lord, that loved you more than me, shared the gospel truth with me. And now here I am today sharing the gospel message with those that will listen and for those that will accept it today, Heavenly Father. God, there may be one here today that we don't know that has never accepted that gospel truth. God, there may be one on Facebook today that's watching this that's never accepted Jesus Christ and has never accepted the gospel truth into their life and their heart. But God, today is the day of salvation. God, today is the day that that plan of salvation can be made real in their lives. And God, help us to see that the material things, God, are going to fade away. Material things don't last. But God, what you have to give us will last. It'll last for eternity and throughout eternity, Heavenly Father. And Lord, all we got to do is call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And it says in your word that you'll be saved. So God, I pray if there be one watching today or here in this church house that doesn't know the Lord today, God, Lord, let them call upon your name. Let them confess their sins, Heavenly Father. And Lord, let them confess with their mouth that they believe Jesus Christ died for them on the cross and was resurrected on the third day. He sits at the right hand of you today, Lord, making intercessions for them. And God, in the word I read, it says they'll be saved and you'll come right in and take residence. And so God, it's that easy today. And God, we thank you now. And we ask all of this humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.